For the past several months, Brother Randy has been leading us in a study of the book of James. This book, I believe, is quite possibly one of the most neglected books of the Bible. We find in James, of course, the old argument of works versus faith. The very thing that was misunderstood by God's chosen people in the Old Testament, and I think is still very much misunderstood by many in the church of today. Rather than join in a new approach to the old argument, this morning I would point your attention to the closing verses of James. If you will, open your Bibles to the fifth chapter, last chapter of the book of James. Begin reading the 17th verse. Elijah, was a man subject to the like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. In a recent evening's devotion, I read Charles Spurgeon's great exposition of these two verses of Scripture. We find in these few words the two great examples of the Christian faith: devotion and persistence. I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. The first example is Elijah the prophet at Mount Carmel. And the second is the same prophet confronting the evil King Ahab and informing him that God was going to send rain to the kingdom of Israel and relieve the 3.5 year long drought it had been suffering. Let's look at the first example. 1 Kings chapter 18. Begin with verse 17 of the 18th chapter. A long reading. If you have your Bibles, read along with me. If not, please listen carefully. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks. Let them choose 1 bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put it under fire. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Elijah said unto the prophets Baal, Choose you 1 bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many. Call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, called on the name of Baal from morning until even noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves as they man with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them. It came to pass when midday was past, and the prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he prepared the altar, and the Lord that was broken down, and Elijah took 12 stones, according to the numbers of tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And when the stones he built the altar, in the name of the Lord he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it upon the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and filled the trench also with water. Came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell down on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. How often, I wonder, do we put God's promises to us really to the test? How often do we put his promises to the test? Here we find Elijah chastening a large crowd of Israelites gathered at Mount Carmel. A whole horde of false prophets are aligned there as well. Elijah challenges this strange mixture with a question that needs to be asked today. This question needs to be asked in our so-called progressive and modernist churches, in our seminaries and Bible colleges. This question needs to be asked of our neo-theologians, of our please the crowd evangelists, and of our revisionist politically correct church leaders. Listen now to that question. Verse 21. How long, Elijah challenged the crowd, how long halt ye between 2 opinions? Who, in other words, do you believe? God or men? Amen? Who do you believe? God or men? Beloved, it is the word of God that lost humanity needs, not the words of men. Amen? It is the promises of God to sinful men and women and boys and girls, and they need to believe those promises, not those of the false prophets that lead them down that broad highway that leads to damnation. You see, today it is just like it was at the foot of Mount Carmel those hundreds and hundreds of years ago. I read from this holy book these words to you so that you could see the parallel here to Elijah's confrontation and the one the church faces today. It's no different. I'm afraid that today we are too often afraid to use that fire needed to expose the lies of the false prophets. Amen. Too afraid to use God's fire. Right here. You know, and on top of that, we're afraid, I think, to douse those flames with the water of the gospel truth that purifies sin and glorifies God. It's sad to see some of the stuff that comes to you on television. Are you hearing me? And some of the stuff that comes from some of the pulpits today in America and around the world. The Jezebel of the popular prosperity gospel, the Jezebel of philosophical interpretations of the scriptures, and the injection of political correctness spewing from so many pulpits today must be exposed as the lies they are. The table being spread today by the false prophets is easy to digest with its easy believism and dainties, while a lost world out there is starving for the truth. Elijah exposed on Mount Carmel when the God he served answered his prayer. The fire of God fell, the Bible records. It consumed not only the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the altar itself, it even licked up the water that was in the trench. Jehovah, the creator of this universe, is still the God that answers the effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man. Hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. We have. But God has. Now let's look at our second example. Same chapter. 18th chapter. Verses 41 through 46. Very brief reading here. Elijah meets Ahab, and here's what he says. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. 3.5 years of drought. Parched land, crumbling earth. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. It came to pass 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up. Say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah as he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Here we find Elijah informing the wicked King Ahab that the God he spoke for was about to send refreshing rain to the parched and arid nation of Israel. Elijah, prior to this, had spoken these words to Ahab, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. Wow. kind of laid himself open, didn't he? Wouldn't you say? So, now, think. Believing God, Elijah was declaring to Ahab that the sound of abundance of rain would surely come. With bowed head, we find Elijah kneeling face down in the crumbling pasture. He sends his servant up on the brow of the hill, facing the sea, to look for a sign. No sign of rain anywhere. Seven times the praying prophet sends his servant, and six times the sky remains clear and blue. Then, after the seventh trip, the report comes back. Yeah, I see a little tiny storm cloud about the size of a man's hand. The scripture reveals that the very heavens turned black with clouds and the winds blew and the great rainstorm broke from above to feed the thirsty land. That's just an Old Testament story. That's just an example, a fable. Beloved, our land is thirsty for the truth today. Don't you think? Yes. Don't you think? Yes. Thirsty for the truth. Each one of us who truly believe the word of God are like that little cloud out on the horizon in our text. It may take seven trips, it may take 70 trips, or it may take 700 trips. But unknown to us, some part soul may be refreshed by those showers of blessing. Our prayers and our testimony to an unbelieving Ahab in this world desperately need to hear. Devotion to our God and persistence in believing His promises may bring a great revival to heal our sick land, or it may bring the fires of judgment that mark the end of time as we know it. That's not our business to know that. Our business is to do what God's word tells us to do as His people. Amen? We don't know when Jesus is coming. He said we wouldn't. But He's coming.
That's right.
We, like Elijah, must simply keep on keeping on carrying out our Father's business. You see, my friends, in the end, there is only one opinion that matters. That opinion belongs to the one who sends the fire and the rain. Amen? Doesn't matter what our opinion is. Doesn't matter what our opinion is. 2,000 plus years ago, God sent His Son, who is the true sacrifice for all who repent of sin and believe His word. The awful fire of God's judgment for your sin and mine raged through the Lord Jesus Christ's body, nailed to that cross, beaten and dying. The sword thrust into His side released the water of death mingled with His own blood. Read about it. That's what He went through for those who were chosen by His Father to be saved. Think about it. Two opinions today. It happened just as this Bible says, or it didn't.
That's right.
Amen? See? Two opinions. Jesus Christ rose from the dead for we who believe that He brings justification to us, or He didn't. Our Redeemer, our Savior, the Lamb of the living God, is coming again to gather His people unto Himself, or He isn't. Two opinions. He is, or He he isn't. He did or he didn't. Elijah prayed effectually. Elijah prayed fervently. Elijah was persistent and prayed believing God. I believe the prophet Elijah was of the opinion that the God he served was going to send fire to his offering and rain to the parched and dying land of Israel. What's your opinion? What's your opinion? God expects his people to pray not only effectually and fervently, but expectantly, just like Elijah. Amen? Beloved, each one of us here this morning know folks who are halted between two opinions. Some of them in our families, some of them where we work, some of them where we go to school, possibly some of them even here today. Halting between two opinions. There are only two opinions. There's not a multitude of choices. Two opinions. You believe God's word, or you don't. It's that simple. That's not really too hard for intelligent people to decide. Yes or no? It's true or it's a lie. It's a book of fables, Jewish, examples, or it happened. I'm like Elijah. I believe the God I serve today sent the fire that fell from heaven and the rain that refreshed the land in this morning's text. What do you believe?